Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to another installment of the French Connection. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and I'm glad to be here with you this evening for another installment of this most important of broadcasts. We have so much to discuss with you this evening. One of the things I'd like to start out with here is about the events that have transpired in the Caucasus and in the Russian steppes area and in the Georgian area of Russia. We, between the Caspian and the Black Sea area, we, of course, to the south of, if you're a geography buff, to the south of the Ukraine, of course. Georgia, Azerbaijan, and Armenia and Turkey are all in this intersecting area. This is a Khazarian area historically some thousand years ago. And much has taken place, ladies and gentlemen, in this area in history. And it goes back, again, to the subject that I bring up on every broadcast because it is the most important challenge humanity faces, I believe, in the world. And that is, what are we going to do about the problem of world Zionism, and what are we going to do when the charges I make and the things that I say turn out to all be true? And I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't shoot from the hip here. I speak the facts. I speak the truth. This war, of course, was propagated and prepared by Israeli forces, by Zionist forces, by George Bush's forces. And, of course, Mr. Bush is a puppet for world Zionists. He, his entire administration, his backers, his financiers, his legal team, his congressional team that supports him, all are Zionists. And, in fact, that is not a passing statement, but rather a factual one. I'm going to be bringing on in about 10 minutes here a very powerful guest, someone who has followed these facts for a very long time. His name is John Kaminsky. John and I have had a on-again, off-again relationship that has actually been off because of some of the people who have been infiltrating our efforts to tell the truth. You know, we are not allowed to make these facts known to the world without a fight. And the subterfuge and deception that has taken place in this battle, people have said that I am all kinds of awful things on the Internet. They have called me names. They have called me a criminal. They've said I've done this and that. Much the same has happened to John Kaminsky. And many of the problems we've faced, we have faced in parallel. I know members of John Kaminsky's family from back where I'm from in the east coast of Massachusetts, in the east coast of America. But, of course, you all know I live now in France with my wife, and I have a small farm here in central France. Interesting that I am battling this fight globally because, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, France, England, Germany, America, Canada, South Africa, Kenya, it doesn't matter where you land on this planet, you're going to face these problems in parallel to the ones that America is facing today. And so what I have discovered over time is the best way to provide proof of this stuff is to have people look at their actions and find out who benefits. The word in Latin, quo, who benefits. Well, the fact is who has always benefited from these things are Jewish bankers, Jewish media people, Jewish businessmen, and, of course, ultimately, Israel. Now, what we know about the Israeli state's formation and who was behind that, the Rothschild fortune, you will notice that they are very prominent in African politics throughout the last 100 years. You'll notice that Oppenheimer is a big name in the Zionist state. You'll notice that Warburg is. All of these names will pop up in pan-African politics as well as European and American. But in the United States today, what we've got is a new marauding band of Zionist Jewish criminals that have allied themselves with Zionist Christians. Interesting, that formation. Interesting, that marriage of power bases. We've got Christian populations in America who believe that they will be teleported to heaven when Israel does these terrible events in the world, okay? So they are going to be raptured, if you will. There's nothing in the Bible that points to this as being factual. There's nothing in anyone's scripture that says this is factual. What has happened is the Zionist community, Jewish Zionist community, infiltrated Protestant Christianity in the United States over the last 100 years. They have done so also in the Catholic Church. You'll find that many of the priests are working with a Zionist agenda. Many of them are Jews who have converted to Christianity. Again, many of the popes in the past 100 years have been Jewish. Our last pope, Pope John Paul, had a Jewish mother from Poland. So the simple fact of the matter is there was an intent involved in the slandering of Catholics, in the allowing of a priest to be brought into the priesthood knowing that these people were homosexuals. My point is this, is that this conspiracy has plotted and planned itself, used its power base, used its media control, used its banking control, used its infiltration into government to affect powerful changes in both the American society, in its moral base, in its political base, in its constitution, ladies and gentlemen. You will find those same problems having erupted throughout the last 100 years in the apartheid state of South Africa. The same interests are holding on to your large corporations. The same controllers are holding ownership over the mining industry in your country. And they, too, have fomented problems and fights between groups, kept people separated, and allowed these things to turn into awful, awful political and geopolitical events. You know, racism is a tool these people use. They use to protect themselves from criticism, and they also use it to separate groups. In the United States, for example, they have found that the white supremacist movement, this white nationalist movement, has been financed by Southern Poverty Law, run by a man named Morris Dees, a Jewish patriot working very hard at trying to undermine any kind of truth and honesty between the white community and the black community in America. What they have done is they have fanned the flames of racism in the white community and then financed a growth of a movement within it to say that blacks are bad, whites are good, we need to separate the two communities, they can't ever live together. It's a nonsense. You know, the only thing that should keep people together or apart are whether they've got good character. You know, if people are of good character and they are kind in their actions and they are honest and they seek truth, these are the kind of neighbors that you want. You don't want to select your neighbors based upon skin color or by their religious affiliations, because what ends up happening in this is that you segregate yourself away from communicating with other people. We need to talk, ladies and gentlemen. We need to know each other. We need to communicate. We need to be honest with each other about our loves and our problems. So these are the things that I see that we have to start addressing. And my guest, I hope my engineer has called my guest. His name is John.
Hello, Daryl.
Hi, John.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, John. John Kaminsky is calling all the way from the United States. I'm so happy to have you on once again with me, John. It's been a long time since we've done a show together. How are you, my friend?
Good to be back. I got a great Catholic story to tell you.
Well, please do.
I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but I was listening to you talking about the infiltration of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
I recently attended a modernized Catholic Mass with a friend who was a Catholic. And it's in one of my stories on my website, johnkaminsky.info. I went in, and he was talking about the Amalek, Joshua slaying the Amalek, which is in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And the priest, let's see, they had a gay guy playing the piano. They had a transvestite in the front row. They had a drunken Irish priest up there talking about how good it was to slay the Amalek, but he wasn't calling them the Israelites anymore. The official Catholic liturgy is now calling them Israelis, and how we should fight for the freedom of the Israelis. And the thing that the Catholics in that service didn't get was that we all know who the Amalek are. The Amalek are us. The Amalek are the Palestinians. The Amalek are all the peoples of the world who are oppressed by this terrible tribe that we're talking about.
Well, the Goyim, if you will.
And what the Catholics didn't realize is that they were praying for their own murder.
That's right.
By worshiping Joshua, slaying the Amalek of the world, they didn't realize that they were praying against themselves.
Well, doesn't the Talmud call us less than human? The only humans in the world, according to the Talmud, are Jews, and the rest of us are animals?
That's correct.
Well, this kind of belief system that gets instilled in young children can only create problems in the future. And, you know, this kind of indoctrination is child abuse, John, in the Jewish community.
It really is.
But, you know, one of the things I've discovered is that there are a lot of Jews in the world who, knowing these kind of things are the basis for their religion, they don't want any part of it. They're marrying outside of the Jewish faith. They're not attending a synagogue. And they're finding that they don't feel connected to this kind of sickness. This is happening throughout their synagogues across the country. They're losing populations of worshippers because, hey, who wants to go and hear this stuff when you go in to listen to a religious service?
Well, I don't think that's the kind of thing that they bring out too openly, but it's basically, I've wondered about this, how Jewish children are taught in what we Christians would call Sunday school, although for them it would be Saturday school, I guess. What are they taught when they're children? You take the Talmud and you combine that with the greatest Jewish philosopher, Maimonides, and they're both sending out the same message, and that is that Jews are the chosen people, and as a result of the holy book that they believe, they are entitled to kill or enslave anyone else in the world with no penalty. Now, that's the starting point of that's the starting point for a Jew who wants to become a human being. And I think everybody's eligible to be a human being, but I don't see how you can be a human being and believe that stuff.
No.
And we see it in the world everywhere. We see untruth in everything that they do. The latest thing is Georgia. You know, we got Jewish television in the United States, and all we hear is that Russia's invading Georgia. Then we look on the Internet at sites like yours and other great writers who are on the Internet, and they're telling us that the Georgians killed 2,000 people with artillery, and that there's people with Ukrainian insignias on their uniforms doing the bombing, and also the black uniforms of Blackwater were present in Georgia, in Ossetia.
Well, did you know that the Russians actually captured us and have some bodies and captured some actual Blackwater operatives?
Yes.
Yep.
So,
well, John, I mean, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know what I've written. If you look at the body of my work, I've stayed, despite great opposition, I've stayed pretty consistent over time. And the overall thrust of it is that you can't believe anything a Jew says over history, throughout history. It's all been a deception from Disraeli down through the Nelson Aldrich and the Federal Reserve Act that took away half of the Americans' money in 1913, and they've been taking money ever since. The United States has become a totally Jewish country, and the people who are non-Jews, because they've been suckered in by this Holocaust myth, they're afraid to say anything against the Jews, even though they know what they're up to, for fear of being labeled anti-Semitic. And this fear of standing out has really shown up America to be a nation of spineless, unconscious, unprincipled murderers, just like the Israelis.
Well, you know, John, the moral degradation has become so incredible, and I was listening to the previous show here on CII about moral degradation finding its way into the streets and city streets of South Africa. And, you know, South Africa is a first world infrastructure in many ways. But what's happened is they've got the transvestites and homosexuality and pornography and the whole rest of it that has come from this community. This Jewish community has propagated this moral degradation and this moral sickness worldwide.
I think you see it even more clearly in Iraq.
Yes.
Where they never had porn, they never had heroin in Iraq. And all of a sudden, all of the they call them Western values, but they're really Jewish values, have been brought into. I mean, it wasn't enough that they killed millions of people and poisoned the rest of them; they had to drag them down into the gutter where they live.
Well, what they do, John, is they believe that we're less than human and that we're there to provide them with an income. They're parasitic. And, of course, the drug trade has always been controlled by them, whether it be from the British imposing opium trade on China. It was the Jews behind that through the British Crown. It was also the Kirchner family in Colombia and many other places, Menem, and you can go through South America. The cocaine trade is controlled by these people. So the drug trade and their parasitic use of that trade to enrich themselves. Is, and then, of course, pornography is enriching themselves through that as well. And, I mean, any place they can make a buck, and especially when it destroys morality and makes a society sick, it's all the better for them.
Yes. Yes, that's their profit strategy.
But you see, Zionism this is the modern incantation of this sickness. And Theodor Herzl, when he was having his... meeting in Basel, Switzerland back in 1897, he talked about all of these points. He talked about instituting these control mechanisms, and many people have heard of the learned elders of Zion's documentation of these crimes, and yet they, of course, we still have trouble getting traction on it in the West, that the protocols are real and that they are actually a blueprint for the destruction of the non-Jewish groups in the world, and you can't deny it. Everything in those documents have come true.
Yeah, it's chilling to read them.
John, they're very long, but I recommend anybody out there, the entire English version is on my website at IamTheWitness.com, and for anyone to read through, you will be shocked to see the parallels in your society when you read it, John. It's amazing.
It's chilling. I think the one that got me the most, being an old, I started out as a sports editor and then I became a regular newspaper editor, but I've had it's been a hobby all my life, and to read in the protocols how sports is used to delude the masses into really putting their focus on the wrong thing, because sports are in no sense as important as war, and yet. To talk to many Americans and many people around the world, this escape called sports is much more important than anything else that's going on in the world. And that's just one example of how the populations of all countries have been misled and deluded into triviality, while at the same time not having the faintest idea of who's really running their country.
Well, that's right, and right now, you know, a lot of people believe that Christianity is sitting in the presidency of America, and Christianity, the Christian group that runs Germany is running Germany, and so forth and so on. What they don't realize, John, is that just behind these people are Jewish controllers. And I'll give a good example. I think we talked about it right before we came on air here a few hours back. Rahm Emanuel, of course, running Barack Obama's campaign. And a lot of people in South Africa are pinning a lot of hopes on this guy, Barack Obama. Well, the simple fact of the matter is he's riddled top to bottom with Jewish handlers.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I just read something where he's still a citizen of Kenya, too.
Well, I mean, you know... That shouldn't make a difference if he's a man of conviction and morals. But the fact is, this is not the case.
Well, a citizen of another country not supposed to be president of the United States. Of course,
that's right.
We know that that rule doesn't apply to Israel.
That's right. That's right. Someone like Rahm Emanuel, the people of South Africa and Pan-African audience that are listening, and the people of Europe almost have never heard of him. And, of course,
right.
what you find out about this guy is his family has roots in the Irgun, a terrorist group, one of the original terrorist groups from the last century. They have Shin Bet roots. There are military intelligence roots in this guy. The fact of the matter is he's riddled top to bottom with clandestine criminality.
It's just amazing how such a relatively small group of people, through sheer organization and the power of money and media, have managed to really put a tremendous hammer lock on the whole world by controlling everyone's money supply. They can dictate what kind of politics is created, and you see what's created. It's this constant war. It's this constant... this constant attempt to, it seems to be, to exterminate people. I read one commentary about the Vietnam War, which we're still trying to figure out, that the main purpose of it was to kill a lot of Buddhists. And I think that's coming very clear in the Mideast, where due to depleted uranium and all the bombing that's gone on, the really overall number one impact on the Middle East has been the extermination of its populations. That's really going on in Africa now, too, through all these UN medical programs.
That's right. That is exactly right. And you know, in every one of these vaccines, there is hidden a disease that comes cropping up in these populations after the fact. We've actually caught the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation pushing out into the African public poisons that ultimately were there to sterilize. Some of them were laced with cancer virus. Others were, actually giving immuno problems so that they would become victims of immune deficiency diseases. This stuff is not my theory here. We know this. They've been doing this stuff, John. We know it.
I think it's clear from reading the AIDS literature over time that AIDS really hasn't killed as many people as the AIDS drugs have.
That's right. In fact, you know what somebody believes, and this is an interesting note, that the person who has the immune system that has been compromised through a vaccine or other things, once he gets on AZT and other drugs, he's a goner.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, how do we deal with these kinds of events in the world now? I mean, what we've been able to do, John, people like you, myself, others like us, we have raised the bar on understanding here. We've made people see. We've put it in their face long enough that people are starting to look at it, at least. But it's going to take a whole lot more courage than people are displaying these days.
Oh, I know it. There's no real official traction on any of this stuff now. It's all glossed over by this media. I call it a mind lock, but it's like a blockade of, you're not allowed to think about anything that is not the government's version of events. And when you do, at least now in the United States, you run the risk of being put in jail. Of course, all over the world there are people being put in jail, especially in Europe, over the Holocaust issue. Are we allowed to talk openly about any subject or not?
I can't do that, John. You know I live in a hate crime country.
I know that. But I'm talking in terms of the whole world now, and it seems what's creeping around the world is you may not utter certain things that you know to be true, or you'll be put in jail, and that's we don't want to go there, Daryl. That's a level of artificiality that means we no longer have free thought, and we're not allowed to think the things we want to think. And when we get to the point where we have to think what they say we have to think, then we're no longer human beings, we're robots.
Well, John, you just brought up a subject that I fight the fight of free speech, but isn't it interesting that the court in Germany, while they're putting Zundel in jail and they're putting Gerhard Rudolph in jail, and the woman Stoltz, Sylvia Stoltz, defending these people, they decide to give her 3 years, and the judge says that the truth is no defense in her case. And
right. Sylvia Stoltz is one of my biggest heroes.
Does she have some courage. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give everybody a little tidbit here. You have to read what this woman did in a courtroom.
Yes, you do.
The most courageous thing I've read about in the last 25 years of my life.
Yep.
And it cost her 3 years of her freedom.
Well, if it's only three, she's liable to say something in jail that'll make her prolong it because she's obviously not going to change her tune. There is a growing resistance in Germany. People, this Dirk Zimmermann fellow, spoken out, and more recently Michael James, the Brit who lived in Germany,
yep.
but who may have to get out.